ओम अग्निमंद Dhruv, wait, come for one second. Give this to your father. Wow, so surrendered. Om Agitinandasya, Dhanandasya, Saksiyu Samilatanjaya, Tashmai, Sri Yuri Vainama. Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapitam Jayamitare Sayam Prakaramayam Jagrati Vishapandam Once ago, Mr. Mishchak was such a day of Vishapati Dhanam King Pariket said, My Lord, Sukadeva Goswami, all the various activities exhibited by the incarnation of God, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are certainly pleasing to the ear and to the mind. Simply by hearing of these activities, the dirty things in one's mind immediately vanish. Yeah, it's good news, isn't it? Yeah. It doesn't say it right here, but as soon as you stop hearing, turning the TV back on again, unfortunately. So the conclusion is Kirtaniya Sadhari, that we should keep hearing, and we should keep our consciousness fixed. Something far more wonderful than what it is usually fixed upon. Generally, we are reluctant to hear about the activities of the Lord, even though there's so much benefit in hearing about them. But yet we are reluctant. But that's the bad news. Here's the good news. But Krishna's childhood activities are so attractive that they are automatically pleasing to the mind and ear. Thus one's attachment for hearing about material things, which is the root cause of material existence, vanishes. And one gradually develops devotional service to the Supreme Lord, attachment to Him, and friendship with devotees who give us the contribution of Krishna consciousness. Sri Maharaj Pariket said, if you think it is fit, kindly speak about those activities of the Lord. Just hear what Prabhupada, this Prabhupada translated in 1977, probably. And here's how he wrote about the same thing in the Krishna book in 1969 or 70. This is what he wrote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is always full of six opulences, namely, what's one?
Strength.
Strength. Wealth.
Beauty.
Renunciation.
Knowledge.
Fame. Strength, wealth, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, and fame. wealth, complete strength. Prabhupada adds the word complete to his quality. Because why does he say complete strength? What does that mean?
Because we all have limited.
Right.
Compared to us.
Right, so he has full strength. But if we have some strength, even though it's limited, then how is his strength complete? Right? Is that a legitimate question?
Yes. It's the source of all strength.
Ah, and there's the answer, that our strength is not actually our strength.
Mm.
It's actually a little bit of his strength. And his strength is the totality of strength. In other words, the strength we have is but one of his energies. It's called, actually, what is it? Jnana? Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, and Bala. And activities, Jnana, yeah, Bala Shakti. So our strength is just a little bit of Krishna's activities, strength, a little bit of his Bala Kriya Shakti. Otherwise, we cannot do anything. And therefore, what's the first conclusion we reach when we understand that? If you're riding in a borrowed car, someone's loaned you his car, and it may be a nice car, it may be a terrible car, but you need it. You need to get somewhere. What's the conclusion that you reach?
You're dependent on that.
You're dependent on it, and dependent on the person's kindness. And if it's, yeah?
Depending on his mercy.
Yeah? And okay, look at it from the point of view. How does that affect your own consciousness?
It's borrowed.
Yeah, it's borrowed.
You have to take a little better care of it.
That's a good point. And shouldn't be proud. But the nature of Kali Yuga is even a pauper. You know what a pauper is? A pauper means a poor man. Is proud of his penny, the famous saying. Even a pauper is proud of his penny. So, complete knowledge, complete strength, complete beauty, and complete renunciation. The Lord appears in different, complete, eternal forms of Godhead. So, he's complete in all these things. In other words, his form of God, his form of Godhead, it possesses the complete strength, knowledge, wealth, renunciation, beauty, and fame. So that's what Krishna is composed of. The Lord appears in different complete eternal forms of incarnation. And the word incarnation in the English word is not actually a suitable word because it's actually borrowed from which religion? Christian religion, because they say that Jesus is God incarnate means in flesh, but we don't say that Krishna is God in flesh, that he's come down and taken a fleshy material body. That's Paulism.
Was Jesus not, he was the son of God as well?
Yeah, but they have a very, we could say, odd philosophy. From the Vaishnava perspective. I mean, it wasn't what he taught at all, but they say that because human beings suffer in this world, and if they want to believe in God, they think, well, he's happy and fully spiritual, and he's, you know, in ecstasy and all powerful, and here he puts us here in this world and we're just suffering. And he doesn't know what it's like for us poor humans. So I don't call it the Christian philosophy because it wasn't what Jesus taught actually, but Paul, one of his followers, taught this, that yes, he does know what it's like because he came incarnate in flesh. God comes incarnate in flesh. That's the Christian philosophy. Mm-hmm. And he suffers just like you suffer. Well,
in the sense that he's not only material thing.
You're talking about God or Jesus?
God.
Yeah, God. Yeah, well, they say he doesn't have a material form. They don't talk anything about his form. But he takes a material form and he knows, just knows what it's like. He suffers along with you and he's ready to die for you, even. That's vicarious atonement philosophy. So in any case, it's not a proper word for to actually, there's no other word in English. God in this world. But this doesn't really, this isn't really what God in this world is, incarnate in flesh. Unless you take the word, the prefix in means not, and then it's not flesh, and then it's okay. But that's, it's the Sanskrit word, of course, is avatara, means he who descends, who is not in this world, actually. When he appears to be in this world, he descends with his whole dham by his own potency, and he's not in this world, even though he appears to be in this world. That's avatara.
Sorry, is that different? Is planetary expansion, has that different in avatara?
There can be planetary expansions that aren't in this world. Avatar means specifically
descending,
like lila avatars, purusha avatars. The rest are called expansions. Or
so they're generally expansions.
Plenary means complete. Complete. So an example of what a plenary expansion is if you take a flame of a candle and then you take another candle and put it to that candle, and the flame of the second candle is not any less than the first potency of the first candle, yet there's an original candle. So that example is given in Brahma Samhita to show how when Krishna expands into his Vishnu Tattva forms, like Lord Narayan, whatever, they have the complete expansions. And then there's expansions of his expansions, even, and they all have basically the same potency that Krishna has, like flames. If I take this flame and light that candle, and then I take the candle like that, they all have the same potency. There's not a, because one's the original, it doesn't mean there's any diminishment in potency. But then again, that's a practical example to help us understand. So plenary means complete. In that sense, when Krishna expands, his expansions are not any less than he is. But then there's a different type of expansion called vibhinansa, which is the souls. Angsa means part, and vini means separated. So individual souls, and they're different from the svamsa, which means his own part, which is plenary part. So one is Vishnu Tattva and the other is Jiva Tattva. Soul is Jiva Tattva.
And we're not complete in that sense.
Indeed. We are quite incomplete.
Incomplete.
We're tiny and insignificant. If you think of another example, you could say, so there's the candles. You can say, you can take it. So Krishna is so powerful, so innumerable candles can be lit from him, and it doesn't lessen his power. But then a spark flies off from the candle. And that's more like the jiva, or from the light. So we're like sparks, and depending upon where the spark lands, it can get extinguished practically, even though not really from this example, because it's eternal. But if it lands and dry in something that's wetted, it gets extinguished. That's the mode of ignorance. And if it's in the mode of goodness, it's like dry glass, and then it will immediately burst into flame. Its actual nature is flame. But when it's separated from the fire, because it's so tiny, the spark, it's not able to independently exist. It needs a shelter. So we cannot independently exist away from the fire, away from something. So we have to either find shelter in the internal realm or the external realm. External realm meaning the realm of Maya, or the internal realm meaning back into the fire. What do you think? Clear? It's clear?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just the candles, they have their own power. So the expansions of Krishna, the samsa, have their own power.
And they can never be
extinguished.
Extinguished.
Yeah. They're all eternal and they're all complete. Even though there are some, you could say, minor distinctions. So Vishnu is eternal, unlimitedly powerful, but Lord Krishna has a little bit more, some different qualities that even Lord Vishnu and Lord Narayana don't have. Before the number. This is the analysis given by our acharyas. But for practical purposes, like if we're an ant at the bottom of the Himalayan mountains and we're looking up, and it's so vast, it's so huge, so there's one peak. They've numbered all the peaks. And or Everest, I can't remember the number of Everest.
K2.
Okay. K2, yeah. Disaster on K2 on the northern slope. So that may be this much higher than another peak. So, but for an ant at the bottom, useless to say, well, that's bigger than that, because he's an ant. Because look who he is. You know, you're an ant at the bottom, and you're trying to say this one. And what are you?
Insignificant.
Most insignificant, and neither capable of any of that.
Comprehending.
Yeah, exactly. So, as we were reading. The Lord appears in different complete eternal forms of incarnation. The conditioned soul has immense opportunity. What does immense mean? Vast. It's even better, isn't it? Vast, great and vast opportunity. We have a great opportunity, a vast opportunity to hear about the transcendental activities of the Lord in these different incarnations. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said, "Dhamma karma chame divyam." The pastimes and activities of the Lord are not material. They are beyond the material conception. And the conditioned soul can benefit by hearing such uncommon activities. What does Srila Prabhupada mean when he says that Krishna's activities are uncommon?
Like common man's.
Yeah, they're quite exceptional. That's the opposite of being common, exceptional, exceptionally wonderful. Common man's activities, they're exceptionally unexceptional. someone's a little bit better than another one, but they're all, you know, like one ant is a little bit stronger than another ant, but even from the human point of view, you know, it's the ants. And it's all borrowed power anyway. Yeah, that's also Krishna's power, the Paramatma. Hearing is an opportunity to associate with the Lord. To hear his activities is to evolve to the transcendental nature. Simply by hearing. So what does that mean? So first of all, it's an opportunity to associate with Krishna, because Krishna, his name, his form, his activities, his qualities, they are all none different from him. They are the same as him. And if one has proper consciousness, pure consciousness, then one actually associates with Krishna just by hearing of him. Now, if one doesn't have proper consciousness, that someone who nivritta tarasya upagiyamanam. So if one is nivritta tarasya, or has no taste or attraction to the material realm, and is fully liberated upagiyamanam, if one's released tarasya, nivritta tarasya upagiyamanam, then one actually experiences the pastimes of Krishna, experiences Krishna in his pastimes and names and qualities. But then there's the person who's not on that platform, and then Bhava Oshad Shottamanam Abhiramat. So this means, so for the Navritta Tashar, he's experiencing Krishna, and for one who's not on that level, who's in the material level, it's Bhava Oshada. Oshada means medicine, and Bhava means for the realm of birth and death. So it is a medicine that cures one's involvement in the realm of birth and death. So it's good for both, and it's also Shottamana Abhirama. It's very pleasing. The process of Shotra, hearing, is very pleasing. And then Thomas, okay, who won't be attracted except in the Pumam Vrajeta Bhina Pusugnat. Pusugnat means either an animal eater, flesh eater, or one who is killing his own self won't be attracted to this, because it's powerful and relevant. And if one's on the highest platform, or if one's just sick and getting better. So the point is, and it's pleasing. Shota Mano Abhirama. It's pleasing to the ear and to the heart too.
What do you mean by one who's killing one?
Well, it's either pashu means animal, and pashu also means the self, because we're alive also. So if one is a killer of an animal, it means a butcher or someone who's eating flesh. And the killer of the self means that one who is using his life in a way that is not conducive for him to live eternally, that he's just wasting his life.
Material
activities, material consciousness. So everyone will be attracted to Krishna Katha. That's what's being said, because it's good for you. It's good for you, and it tastes good too. Usually, things we think that things are good for you, the medicine, tastes terrible.
Yeah.
But this one is good for you, but it tastes good too.
That was the world medicine.
Yeah, it's out of this world. But it's here in this world too.
Yeah.
It's out of this world, come into this world. So how cool is that? So hearing is an opportunity to associate with the Lord. To hear his activities is to evolve to the transcendental nature. In other words, we evolve. Our consciousness shifts. Because what is, when we talk about evolution, what do we mean?
Change.
Change? Which way? For improved, right? You don't talk about...
Mm.
Right? Evolving means there's devolving and evolving. Evolving means gradually changing and elevating. So when one to hear about Krishna's activities is to evolve to the transcendental nature. One's own transcendental nature improves. So that's very good. Simply by hearing. So the medicine, not only is it good tasting and good for you, but it's easy to take too. All you have to do is sit there. You don't even have to keep your eyes open. I mean, it helps, but but like, just if it was just looking, you at least you have to do a little work by keeping your eyes open. But hearing, you don't have to even open your ears, because they're always open. So it's simply by hearing.
You don't have to write an exam.
No. But the hard part is you have to pay attention. And you have to come. That's the hard part. The conditioned soul has a natural aptitude to hear something about other conditioned souls in the form of fiction, drama, and novel. And what other form is very popular? Huh?
Movie.
And newspaper.
Mm.
We always like to, that's the Gramyakata. So Mahaprabhu actually says. Gramyakata na shunive. Don't, that's what he tells Raghunath Das Goswami. Don't listen to Gramyakata, the village gossip. Did you hear this and this is going on? Yes, and don't become a gossip monger. Yes. Fiction, drama, novel, because everyone likes to hear something about some people, but has a natural aptitude to hear about other conditioned souls, even though the taste is so, it is quite dry and not satisfying to the heart, but yet it's intriguing to us. It's natural. That inclination to hear something about others may be utilized by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Then one can immediately evolve. In fact, who do we like to hear about? We like to hear about especially someone who was very beautiful, or famous, or strong, or intelligent, or wealthy, or also someone renounced, or famous. We like to hear about all these things, and Krishna is the... I mean, do you get a community newspaper where you live?
Yeah.
Do you read it? No, because no one's famous, no one's strong, no one's beautiful. Because it's just people in your community.
The ordinary job.
Yeah, so yeah. It's not attractive for that reason. Mm-hmm. So we like to hear about people who possess those exalted qualities. So the first thing the Prabhupada explained is that Krishna possesses all those qualities that we should like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who attracts us who possesses some of those qualities is just possessing some of it, a little bit of his energy. Then, the inclination to hear something about others may be utilized in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So it's a natural inclination. Then one can immediately evolve to the transcendental nature. Now, what word is especially interesting in that sentence?
Immediately.
Huh?
Immediately.
Immediately. One can immediately evolve. So, because usually we think of evolution as something that's gradual. Right? But this is immediately evolving by the process of hearing. And evolving to what? To the transcendental nature. Krishna's pastimes are not only beautiful, but they're also very pleasing to the mind. If someone takes advantage of hearing the pastimes of the Lord, the material contamination of dust accumulated in the heart due to long association with material nature can be immediately cleansed. And what form does that dust take?
Conception of all that.
Yeah, different conceptions about what's important in life, what's terrible in life, and it should be like this, and no, it shouldn't be like that. Or conceptions about myself, I'm like this, upadis, overlays upon ourselves. I'm like this, I'm not like that, I have so many self-conceptions. Dhruv, you have self-conception?
A big word.
Yeah, I think. Are you boy? Yes. Are you strong? No. Are you humble? I think so. Very humble. So there's so much dust in the mirror of our consciousness that we look in the mirror, and when you look in a mirror, who do you expect to see? Yeah, but there's so much dust covering the mirror that all we see is the dust. So all of that all the accumulated contamination of dust accumulated in the heart due to long association with material nature can be immediately cleansed. Immediately. Lord Chaitanya also instructed that simply by hearing the transcendental name of Lord Krishna, one can cleanse the heart of material contamination. There are different processes for self-realization, such as
yoga.
Yes, and there's different ways of prosecuting bhakti, too. There's working and offering Krishna the fruits of the work, and there's developing different qualities and things that are useful in Krishna consciousness, that, for example, like to be able to concentrate. So someone could learn the art of concentration, and that would be very useful in, for instance, hearing his rounds. So those are called Sangha Siddhi Bhakti and Arupa Siddhi Bhakti, Siddha Bhakti. But Lord Chaitanya and this karma and this, they are actually hidden within them. There's a tendency for karma again. But Lord Chaitanya instructed that simply by hearing the transcendental name of the Lord, one can cleanse the heart of all material contamination. There are different processes for self-realization, but this process of devotional service, of which hearing is the most important function, when adopted by any conditioned soul, will automatically cleanse him of the material contamination and enable him to realize his real constitutional position. Okay, so what does this mean? That hearing, this process of devotional service, of which hearing is the most important function. So in devotional service, if the most important function of that is hearing. That's what's said. So what happens if we don't do the most important function? Then it's going to be very difficult, since it's the most important. Like you could say, when you're driving a car, what's the most important thing? Well, you have to get in the car first. Or I guess you're driving, or you have to put on the key. You have to have petrol in it. But there's certain things that are so essential and important. And keep your eyes open. But especially, you have to have petrol in, say, and you have to the key and turn it in driving. But if you don't do the most important things, then you won't get, you'll get a bad result. You'll get the opposite result. So what's the, So, when you're performing devotional service, of which hearing is the most important function, so that without that, it's like trying to drive a car that has no petrol in it. So, at least you won't get in any accidents. but aside from that, you won't go anywhere. You can't move when there's no petrol in it. So you can say, at least I'm not getting in any accidents. You know, sitting there, turning the wheel and pushing the pedals. You could say at least. But you're not making use of the vehicle. So in devotional service, the most important function, when adopted by any conditioned soul, is hearing. It will automatically cleanse him of the material contamination and enable him to realize his real constitutional position. So what the implication is that just by hearing, then the things that cover the mirror of the consciousness are removed, and then one realizes his constitutional position. So if we think of a mirror, the explanation is very, very simple and easy to understand. And the process of cleansing is the hearing process. So the contamination is removed, and then one realizes his constitutional position. One realizes who one is. His constitutional position. What does constitutional mean in this case?
Natural.
Yes. A like the it's the very basic foundational law, the constitution of a country, the basic and foundational law, that all other, everything else you do in the country is based on the constitution. So our constitutional position means who we are on the most foundational level. Not the layers of upadis or constructs upon who we are, but who we foundationally are. And that we actually see that, recognize that when we hear about Krishna. So what does that mean? So there's a cleansing process and there's a realization process. So when the cleansing process and the realization process of who we are, and when they're working properly, what result would we have? Because Prabhupada hasn't really at this point mentioned what our constitutional position is. But we start to realize it. But what is it? That's what he's going to describe next. So therefore, when the heart is being cleansed and we're realizing our constitutional position, we should start acting as if we were constitutionally are more and more. Conditional life is due to this contamination only. And as soon as it is cleared off, then naturally the dormant functions of the living entity, rendering service to the Lord, awakens. So that's the constitutional position, it's rendering service. But it's not only the serving in the sense of like you go to work and you're beyond that. Dhruv goes to play. You like playing or you like working? You like to play? I think so. But he also likes to work. So the natural function of so it's not just working, but it's devoted work, loving work, seva, bhakti. Bhakti means, it means service. It's often translated as worship, and but it really means active. The activity, the gesture born of devotion is service, loving service, devotional service, seva. So naturally, the more we clean the contamination, the dormant function of the living entity, dormant means sleeping, function of the living entity rendering service to the Lord awakens. By developing his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, one becomes eligible to create friendship with the devotees. Maharaj Prickett recommended from practical experience that everyone try to hear about the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. This Krishna treatise is meant for that purpose, and the reader may take advantage of it to attain the ultimate goal of life. So there's one more introductory paragraph here. So we'll read that shortly. The Lord, out of his causeless mercy, descends to this material world and displays his activities just like an ordinary man. What does that mean? What does that say about Krishna's activities?
Human.
They're human-like. Well, sometimes we can say that our activities are Krishna-like.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna's activities, they are like an ordinary man, just like sometimes the most wealthy man in the whole world maybe sometimes like to put on his old clothes and, you know, just regular old clothes and let his bodyguard stay at home and put on a big pair of sunglasses. and just walk in the world and just act like they're ordinary people. Sometimes celebrities do this. Yeah, they like to do that. And they don't want to be recognized. But the fact is that they're not ordinary people. But it's just, they like to do this. So Krishna comes into the world and displays his activities just like an ordinary man, as if he's an ordinary man. But he's not an ordinary man. What is he? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he possesses all six opulences. He possesses all wealth, all strength, all fame, all renunciation, all wisdom, and all beauty. So he appears, so Prabhupada says, unfortunately the impersonalists or the atheist class of men considered to be an ordinary man like themselves, and so they deride him, speak badly about him. This is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself when he says, avajananti mamudha. Now what is that, what is Prabhupada speaking about when he says that ordinary people or atheists deride Krishna? And Krishna himself says it in the Bhagavad Gita, in that verse, avajananti mamudha. What does deride mean? Speak badly about. So how do people do that? Ordinary people, atheists, impersonalists, they deride him. What do they say?
They
speak in such a way that disrespectful in his greatness.
Well, okay, but how do they deride him?
They talk badly of him.
But what do they say?
Another conclusion.
They deny his existence.
Okay, that's the, no, but not saying that. They say, but atheists, when they're talking about Krishna, they consider Krishna to be an ordinary man like themselves, so they deride him. So what is the form of the derision?
They might themselves as being
God. No, that's not... No. But if they deride him, they say, look at him. He dances with the wives of others in the middle of the night. He steals. You worship a God who steals. He steals butter. He steals clothes from people. He's not, when he does these things, or whatever he does, it's not the same as if an ordinary person would do things. When we steal, it's condemnable and illegal. But when Krishna steals, he's not an ordinary person. So his activities, they can't be derided for them. They're exceptionally wonderful because he's Param Satyam. But the people who deride Krishna for his activities, because not only is he steals, sometimes he tells a lie. When he says, I never stole, he's telling a lie. I didn't eat any dirt. He's telling a lie. So he lies, he steals. Does he cheat? I know one instance when he's, I don't know if it's exactly cheating, but yeah, it's more or less cheating. When there was one time when Bhishma Dev, he promised, Duryodhana wanted to win the battle, so Duryodhana told Bhishma, you're favoring the Pandavas and you're not fighting. He told them this at night, you're not fighting to your full capacity, because if you fight to your full capacity, the entire Pandu army will be destroyed. So it's because of your affection for the Pandavas, even though you're on the opposing to them, you're not really fighting hard. So Duryodhana was trying to crank him up, wind him up a bit, so he would win. So Bhishma became very upset. And he said, okay, you want me to fight. I promise you that with these five arrows, tomorrow I will kill each and every one of the Pandavas. And Duryodhana was so happy when he heard that. So Duryodhana said, just one thing, I'll keep the arrows for the night. And tomorrow, don't worry, I'll give them back to you. So later on that night, Krishna was speaking to Arjuna, and he said, you remember that one time you saved Duryodhana? And he said, whatever you want, I'll give you. I want you to go to him now and take your take advantage of his previous promise. What should I ask for? The five arrows of Bhishma, because Krishna knows everything. Mm-hmm. So he used unfair advantage because he knows everything. Mm-hmm. Haribo. Who was that? Lalita? Yeah, and he promised not to. So then, Arjuna went to see Duryodhana, and Duryodhana welcomed him because the nature of Kshatriyas, they were so noble that they would fight and try to kill each other during the day, but at night, if someone came to their house, they would treat him like a guest. And they with no enmity or anything like that. And they were very noble. So he invited Arjuna in, and he said, what do you want? He said, do you remember that time that you promised me that you'll give me whatever you want? And he said, yes, whatever you want. You want my head, you can have it. If you want the whole kingdom, you can have it. Because he was in noble mode also. And he said, no. I don't want the kingdom even, because they were fighting over the kingdom. That's the amazing thing with Duryodhana. For his word, he was ready to hand over the kingdom. So then Arjuna said, no, I don't want that kingdom. Well, what do you want? The five arrows. And Duryodhana thought, this is Krishna. He recognized Krishna's hand, and then Krishna was just sitting back. Another time he cheated was that Gandhari she had so much power of chastity in her chastity. She had so much power because her eyes were always kept closed because her husband was blind. So she wouldn't supersede her husband in anything. So she kept her eyes closed. And she wanted to make Duryodhana's body invulnerable. You know that story, yeah? You got everyone else's story. So she always kept her eyes, but she was going to open her eyes, and by her, whoever she would look at that time, Duryodhana, then his body would become invulnerable. You know the story?
Yeah.
Even, you know the story. I mean, Dhruv, you know the story. Does someone not know the story? Dhruv, you know the story?
I've read it, but it doesn't mean
that you know it. Oh, okay. So anyway, so Duryodhana was going to go and see her, and she was going to take off the thing. And he was walking to the room without anything on, unclothed. And Krishna saw him. He said, where are you going? I'm going to see my mother. I said, you're going to see your mother like that? At least you should cover yourself. After all. I mean, so he said, yeah, you're right. He covered himself, and his thighs were covered. So when she glanced at him, the rest of his body became harder than steel and invulnerable, but the parts that were covered were more human-like, and therefore when being, so that was also Krishna's taking the side of his devotee. He gave up his samoham svabhuteshu, his neutrality, to take the side of his devotees. So from an ordinary point of view, and that's where Bhima broke his thigh in that vulnerable part. So that was Krishna again, and Krishna, and it was an illegal shot. Yeah. So Krishna told him to cheat it again. So ordinarily, one would say, ordinary people and atheists and impersonalists will say the faultiness of this, of these actions of Krishna. But the devotees see something most exalted and wonderful in these activities of Krishna. What do they see? they see that Krishna has, look what Krishna does to protect his devotees. So rather than seeing a fault, they see an exhibition of his bhakta vatsalya nature, his love for his devotees. So, unfortunately, the impersonalists or the atheists, so the impersonalists are grouped together with the atheists because they think that atheists think that Krishna's body is ordinary persons, and the impersonalists think that Krishna's body is composed of the modes of material nature. So they deride him. This is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself when he says, Avajananti mam mudha. The mudhas, or rascals, take Krishna to be an ordinary man or a slightly more powerful man out of their great misfortune. Why does Prabhupada say that it's out of their great misfortune? Because they cannot accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore they can't awaken their relationship with him. So it's very unfortunate to not be able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because then you can't be with Krishna. And then you're forced to act, not in devotional service, but you're forced to act. One's forced to act in, on the material level, and that entangles us more and more in the law of karma. And sometimes such unfortunate persons misrepresent themselves as incarnations of Krishna without referring to the authorized scriptures. So how many people nowadays say that they are God? He used to before he died. He died. He had no place to live. They drove him out. No country would accept him.
King Pondra.
Pondraka, yeah. Pondraka. He thought he was the Supreme Lord. There's so many that there used to be that Balkrishna Yogeshwar, who was known by his followers as Guru Maharaji. Are you that old? Do you remember him?
No.
He's a boy yogi. And they would say he was God. His mother also said he was God. And his elder brother was Balaram. But then when he married his beautiful Western secretary, she said he's no longer God. And there's always these people around.
What is the reason? Is it because they're envious that Krishna is full in all opulences? Is that the main reason as well? Is that part of the reason that,
Well, they're just outlandishly, brazenly saying what everyone else is quietly thinking. I mean, not I'm the all powerful in this, but everyone is thinking of themselves in that way. But to actually think oneself an incarnation, it's hard to understand the mentality. Except that you can be a little spiritually realized and understand that you're eternal, and that can lead you to thinking that you're eternal, so you're the Supreme Eternal, like that, or part of the Supreme Eternal.
Come
in this room.
Immortal,
well, you are immortal. I mean, you can realize that you're eternal.
But not as a material
body. No. But yeah, how a person like that thinks, so I understand. And even Prabhupada said that. He said that with that Guru Maharaji, he's such a rascal that he doesn't think. Because it was in the paper that he had a really such a bad toothache that he had to go to the hospital. So Prabhupada said, it was obviously Prabhupada knew about this and it was brought to his attention. So he said, he doesn't think that I have such a bad toothache and I have to go to the hospital. How can I be God? So if someone has that kind of powerful illusion that despite their knowing that they have a toothache and they have to go to the hospital, still saying that they're God, that would mean that some, perhaps a little bit of duplicity in their consciousness, somewhere
crazy.
Maybe, something a little bit peculiar, something a little not straightforward maybe. Because one would think.
Work it out from there. You've got a toothache, you can't be God.
Yeah, I mean, as they say, it's not rocket science.
This is Leela.
That's what his followers say, but he knows it's not his Leela because it really hurts. And his followers say his marrying his beautiful Western secretary is his Leela. But his mother didn't think so. And he knows.
Is he still around? I've never heard about him
anymore. I'm sure he's around and around and around and around and around, that one.
Yeah, but he was very popular.
Gets around.
Good following.
Yeah. There must be so many around who's in that moment.
It's like my wife and
I. Oh, yeah.
Does he say he's God?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And he says Satya.
Satya.
That's true. This is the truth.
Yeah.
Whatever I say is truth.
Yeah.
And he's taken the name of this Sai Baba, other one, who wasn't bad like him.
Yeah.
He's now being worshipped as God.
Yeah.
Guru Brahma.
Huh?
He's now being worshipped by his followers as Guru Brahma, Brahmeshwara.
Yeah, all that.
So is he an impersonal?
He's a, well, one.
He was a saint.
He was a saint.
Except we call them demons, though. Because if you think that you're God, what do you say?
Yeah.
And they have him saying, what is it called? They say, Sai Ram.
Right.
I mean, that's pretty, you wouldn't want to call him a saint.
He didn't claim that he's God.
And then he would say, never mind, it's all right. It's okay. Anyway, who am I to disagree with my followers? There's maybe a little bit of cheating mentality there. And then they have, and a few years ago they had television shows where they filmed them, they tricked them.
This Sai Baba, I'm talking of the other one,
Shirdi Sai Baba. Shirdi is different.
Yeah, I'm talking of him.
No, he's, but not, that's not Satya Sai Baba.
No, he's Sai Baba also.
That's real one.
Yeah.
He's good, he's not bad. Prabhupada actually said he was a devotee, but this one is duplicate.
Yeah.
So they, with this one, they filmed him when he was doing it, you know, just like he does.
Satya has the curly hair.
Yeah, like Jimi Hendrix stuff.
Yeah.
That's the one. Mataji, you don't know Jimi Hendrix. It's okay.
Yeah.
He was also...
You haven't missed much.
Yeah.
You see Bucky.
Bucky didn't miss anything. It sounds like... But anyway, they filmed him as, you know, doing his mystic tricks. He was reaching under his table and taking stuff out. You know, and they, you know, they got him on...
Came out of thin air.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So I once confronted one of his followers about that, and he said, well, that's just to test everyone. To see if, you know, test their faith. Pretty good, huh? Talking about compartmentalizing your mind.
Mm-hmm. Blame fit.
In any case, sometimes such unfortunate persons. And one time someone asked Prabhupada, where do the followers of Sai Baba go in the next life? They're sincere and they have faith and they believe in and sincerely try. And he said, because they're following him, they will go to where he's going.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to hell. So they'll go to hell too.
Mm-hmm.
So very heavy.
Without knowing it.
Huh?
Without knowing it.
Well,
the followers don't have any idea what they're doing.
No, they don't know they're going,
they're going to heaven.
Or something. I don't know what. But, Krishna's body never became old. And all the pictures you see of this gentleman, they're old, old picture's shot long ago, but if you see a picture of him nowadays, he's old and wrinkled and ugly. And Prabhupada was the only one who would like call cheaters cheaters. He was so blunt like that in India. Mm-hmm. No one ever does this. Everyone just shanti shanti. Prabhupada was just,
what is his philosophy?
Yeah, that would be one way he would do it. That's how Prabhupada taught Tamal Krishna was like that one, because Prabhupada had said that Vivekananda, because of him all of Bengal has gone to hell, because he taught yatama tatava, that whatever path you take, it's all right, it gets to the same goal, so it doesn't make a difference who you worship, and Ramakrishna. But everyone in Bengal so much reveres him, and Prabhupada was strong but careful. So one time Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was trying to clear some books from customs in Calcutta in 1970. So the person was appreciating that he was a Westerner and a sadhu, and then he asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, what do you think about Ramakrishna? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj spoke some criticism, and the man became so angry that he chased him away, physically chased him out. So Prabhupada said, he said, you have to be tactful. So you say, you never heard of him. Watch his philosophy. And you don't attack the person, you criticize the philosophy. So more, a little more indirect, practical. Okay, we'll stop. So tomorrow, Krishna willing, we will actually hear something. We just heard glorification of hearing today about Krishna. We will hear one wonderful, the beginning of a wonderful pastime about Krishna. Okay, thank you.